And if you've been floating about the social media spaces today, you might have seen a very cool initiative called hashtag Share the Mic Now, where super prominent white celebrities and voices, everyone from Gwyneth Paltrow to Julia Roberts to Catherine Budig, all over, offered up their social media spaces and followings to prominent black female voices with a couple different goals in mind. We'll get more into the goals of Share the Mic Now and our own thoughts on it, but we're going to do just what they offered up. We decided to take that idea and bring it here to Spain and Company. So I'm giving up my mic to the fabulous Elle Duncan. You know her from SportsCenter, all over ESPN properties. And Jordan's giving up his mic to Kayla Johnson, an up-and-coming producer from The Undefeated. Two powerful black female voices at ESPN. And they are taking over this segment. So I guess the floor is yours, ladies.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I love this. It's crazy that this is actually happening because I feel like for the duration of your show, since its inception, I've said, I can't wait for the opportunity to just steal the mic from Sarah and take over a segment and talk to my friend Kayla Johnson. So it's crazy that it's all happening in real life. But hi, Kayla.
Hi, Elle. This is fun.
Hey. This is super fun. So for those who don't know, I really, when Sarah approached me about this, and I'm so grateful for that, and I'll thank Sarah in a second. I want to get to Kayla, but the first person I thought of was Kayla Johnson, because Kayla's one of those people at ESPN that you've probably seen her content online. You've probably interacted with her. If you ever watch First Take, she was running their social media, running the social media for Get Up. She's done so many things, but as is typically the case, when you are a producer and behind the scenes, you don't know who is the person that is actually creating some of this amazing content that you're absorbing and loving. So a little bit about Kayla. Kayla is, I say, the young and up-and-comer. She graduated from Stetson in 2013. She is from Virginia, mm-hmm. but her father was an NFL player, so she has made stops in Nashville and currently calls Orlando home. That's where she went to high school. That's where her family is. When I say calls it home, she does live in New York because, of course, she does work at ESPN Studios yes. in New York. But she did. She contributed to The Undefeated for many years and now is a one-woman show, quite literally, with some of this amazing branded content that you see on ESPN. And we'll get to that in just a second. But I have to say, yeah. like, as someone who landed at ESPN 14 years after they dropped out of college, how the heck did you graduate from Stetson and then literally, like, weeks later get a job at ESPN, Kayla?
Girl. So, I mean, first of all, thank you, Sarah, for having me. I had to get that out there. But it's so funny because when ESPN recruits, they usually go to the big schools, right? So like Syracuse, USC, things, places like that. And so coming from a small school, Stetson, where like the communication school is good, but that's not what we're known for. And so graduating, I was like, I know I want to be in TV. I know I want to, you know, either be behind the scenes on camera. I didn't know, but I knew I wanted to be in TV. So I literally, Elle, applied everywhere, every state. If they had a TV station, I applied to it. Montana, South Dakota, Hawaii, yikes. Like everywhere. And so I'm like applying, didn't hear back from anyone. And thankfully, I had an opportunity to do an internship at NBC the year before. And through a talent producer there, met Galen Gordon, who is no longer at ESPN, but was working there at the time. And so I connected with him and I was like, you know what, let me just shoot my shot, apply for a PA job and reach out to him and see what he says. Kid you not, that same day I reached out to him, he was like, oh yeah, they're interviewing. We're going to fly you up for an interview. Let's do, you know, next week. Good. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I fly up, do the interview. Meanwhile, I'm like still applying to different TV stations. Right. So long story short, they offer me the job and I'm like, what? Like ESPN? My only job offer, Elle. It was my only job offer, and I was still getting rejection letters, emails from, like, Montana and from South Dakota. And I'm like, sis, I do not need y'all, okay? I'm at ESPN. But that's my journey is, like, literally ESPN was the only place that offered me a job.
I love that. They're like, sorry, Kayla, you're not good enough for Sioux Falls. Keep trying, though. Yeah. Maybe your dream will come true eventually. I actually had a boss say that to me when I was leaving my former station. I actually had already had the job at ESPN, mm-hmm. and he did not know yet. He actually told me, and I quote, you know, I really don't think that you should leave here, because as a Black woman, you know this, as a Black woman, it's going to be very hard for you to get a job in television. Mm-hmm. I mean, he literally said it to me as I had the job at ESPN, and I thought, joke's on you.
Right.
But to your point, listen, I wanted to punch him in the face, but the reality is that that is sort of this undercurrent to what we believe, right? Which is that, well, if they've got one or two Black girls, they certainly don't need a third. And so I understand how important representation is. Have you ever had any sort of specific situations, as you are still early on in your career, but you've been at ESPN now for 7 years, anything that sort of happened to you that sort of hammers that point home?
Yeah, I mean, I was at a shoot. I won't say, you know, what shoot it was, but it was a situation where I had to share a space, which happens a lot when you go on shoots. And I had to share it with this producer. He's white, very, very sweet guy, really cool. He actually works at ESPN. And a player comes in, and he sits down, and the way it was set up, the producer went first, and then I would go after to ask my questions. So the player sits down, this guy's asking him questions, trying to crack him, trying to, like, get him to, you know, warm up. I mean, this dude was, like, stone cold. He wasn't rude, he wasn't mean, but you could tell, like, he just wanted to leave. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know, I have to go after this guy, like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, because for me, I want people to feel like they're at home when they come on my set, right? Like, I want people to feel so welcome and just like, we kicking it. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be a huge task, whatever. So the guy ends his questions early, and then it was my turn. And when I tell you, the shift was it was so crazy, Elle. He was laughing with me, joking around, giving me great answers. And I'm like, this is just so crazy, because as soon as he left, he was like, oh, hey, by the way, I like your shirt. And I had a Barbecue Betty, you know, the girl who stopped the Oakland barbecue.
Yeah.
I had her on my sweatshirt. And I feel like him saying that was like, I see how I can rock with you, basically. Like, oh, she's cool. So it was like crazy. We always talk about representation, like in the field. But that was my first time really like, see it happen right before my eyes. So it's kind of funny how he just like switched up on both of us.
Well, he felt like he could relate to you. And I think that it's really interesting, because I think that we, many times as a Black community, we always have to sort of hammer home the point we're not a monolith, right? Like, it's like, okay, I don't speak for all Black people. But at the same time, we do have this sort of community brotherhood and sisterhood. It's just the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's even at ESPN, you know, we sort of have this like unspoken language when you see, you know, another brother or sister in the hall, and you sort of just have this like, you know, I know we live in Connecticut and there's not a whole lot of us here, but like, I got you.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think that that's really significant in many ways. And what I know our time is winding down, so I want to ask you, as someone who is, I mean, you are the next wave, not only because you're incredibly talented, but also because you're this new generation of like content creator, meaning you're the person that is shooting these videos, you're editing these videos, you can be on air, you've got an amazing personality, like, so you're incredibly well-rounded. What would your advice be to the young up-and-comers of calling themselves content creators or disruptors? Like, based on what you've learned in the 7 years you've been doing this, what's one piece of advice you would give?
Oh, man, that's a good question, Elle, because I feel like a lot of things I've learned have been from, like, experience, right? And I always have been taught to separate yourself from the pack. Don't always try to do what everyone is doing, you know? And do things that separate yourself. Don't email that exec and be like, I'm a hard worker, and everybody's saying that. Show them that you're a hard worker. Put in the work. And that doesn't always mean, and I hope people don't get mad when I say that, that doesn't always mean staying like 20 hours at work and not getting paid for it. You know what I mean? You work efficiently, but you can get a lot of things done in a short amount of time too. So be efficient, but also separate yourself from the pack and do things that not everybody else is doing. Go above and beyond. I remember when I was a PA, and during my day job, I worked on another feature that had, you know, nothing to do with my day job, and that's what helped me get promoted. So things like that, I think, is what can help you advance, especially in this profession.
Absolutely. And it really just takes like a couple of things to catch fire. One of the things that, that you, people that are listening might not know that Kayla is responsible for are some of those awesome clips of like asking 90s kids. So asking like these athletes that are obviously quite young, like what do they know about the 90s? Because they were born either in the late 90s or God forbid in the early 2000s. Kayla, is there something that you're most proud of that you can plug really quick so that people that are listening that are like, who is this Kayla Johnson, can sort of get a nice representation of who you are and sort of what your work is about?
Yeah, beyond just like clips on the internet, I think the championing behind the scenes, you know, making room for more Black producers. Like you said, representation matters. So I want to make sure that I do my due diligence and work hard so that there's not a stigma on Black producers, that we're not lazy. You know, we do good work. And so making sure that what I do is everything that I do is with excellence so that I can make room for the next Black producer coming up behind me. I hope that's good.
Well, you do an amazing job of that, Kayla. You're a pleasure to work with. Everyone loves you. And I want to take a minute to just say thank you to Sarah. Because Sarah is, I know that, you know, there, what you're seeing right now is an awakening with a lot of people, and you might be questioning if some of it is performative. And I can tell you, I know firsthand that Sarah walks that walk and talks that talk behind the scenes too. Mm-hmm. Like Sarah Spain on Twitter and on social and whatnot is nothing compared to the force Sarah is off air. So thank you for always being an ally and an advocate, not just for Black women and women of color, but for women in general, all the marginalized communities. I know that it really is part of your passion along with sports. You're great at that, but it really is a calling for you as well. So thank you, Sarah, for the time
thank
and the space and for always advocating.